You're listening to Charisma Kills Radio with special guest Charlie Wise. Hello and welcome to this episode of Charisma Kills Radio. I am your host, Jesse Craig. The episode that you are about to hear was recorded a few months ago with the intent of being played almost directly. Unfortunately, things have happened and I was not able to get around to it, namely school. So here it is with special guest Charlie Wise, creator, writer, and artist of the webcomic Groovy Kinda, which you can check out at groovykinda.com or, if you like, groovykinda.org. Now, you will find that some of the information on this episode is dated, such as Emerald City Con. And in the time between this recording and when you hear it, Charlie has decided to take a much-needed vacation and has gone on hiatus with the comic. However, Groovy Kinda has over 300 updates in its archive, so even if you're new to it, there's plenty of material for you to read, and over and over and over again. During the recording of this episode, Charlie and I just pretty much had a great time speaking with each other and talking shop, so the interview ended up being over an hour long. I edited out a lot of the dead air, a lot of the uhs and ahs and ewes and things like that, and it still was just under an hour. So what I've done is I've broke this episode into two parts. And to Charlie, enjoy your vacation hiatus. If you feel like coming back, you know that you have a multitude of fans that are waiting for you and will be there should you decide to come back. So take your time, take your rest, and without further ado, here we go. Hello and welcome to the show, Charlie.
Yes, Jesse. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
It's nice to finally get you. You're in the Washington area, right?
Yes, we're just across the water from Seattle. We're actually west of Seattle. We don't get as much rain as they do. We're if you look at a map of Seattle and you go directly west across the bay, you'll see Paul's Bow and Bainbridge Island and all that stuff.
So, yeah, you're right in the middle of, I guess, comic book mecca of America, huh? You're right there with Portland and Seattle. Oh.
We've got Portland's a 3-hour drive away. We've got Seattle and Fantagraphics right across the water. We've got comic shops in this town. We've got Xanadu Comics. Got a couple places in Seattle that we always go to. It was in the other day. Yeah. But the comic people and Emerald City Comic Con's coming up. So it'll be 30 to 40,000 people hanging out for that downtown.
Yeah, and for those of you who are interested in visiting Charlie, you will be at Emerald City this year with the webcomic Underdogs, right?
Why, yes, Jesse, I will, and thank you for that plug. I'll be appearing at Emerald City Comic Con with Michael Yakutis and Marisa Brenizer of the webcomic Underdogs. We'll have a table, and Saturday at, I believe, 3 o'clock, we will have a panel on the importance of community in webcomics. And we'll have our new comic book that we'll be selling.
Mm-hmm.
We have some really cool brochures. Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I was actually scheduled to be there with y'all, as you know, but unfortunately,
do that whole house arrest thing, you know,
not in the cars for this year. But I am looking forward to getting out there next year. Emerald City's been one of the conventions that I've always wanted to go to. Some of my favorite comic artists and writers are from that area, and they set up there quite often.
Everybody's going to be there. I don't know, but I think we may be the second or third largest comic convention. Of course, San Diego's the biggest, but I remember when I first started going to Emerald City, it was like 2 or 3 rooms in the conference center over at the Seattle Center. and it just kept getting bigger.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope Doctor Who isn't on the guest list, because Matt Smith, we just had him at New Orleans Comic Con, and oh, wow. It was nice having him, but wow. It was like intense. He actually on the last day had to stop meeting with people because insane fangirls and boys touching his face and trying to do strange things to him. So
a couple years ago it was the twins from Harry Potter, and I took my daughter and her best friend, and her best friend got a hug from them.
Yeah.
And yeah, just, it was amazing. Nichelle Nichols is going to be there.
Oh yeah. There's quite a few guests there that I really was looking forward to seeing.
I'm just hoping they come by the table.
Oh yeah. I'm sure they will. I've seen them come by tables before.
I won't be able to see them, but I'm sure they'll come by the table. I mean, they'll have to come through the dealer's room and all the other, and Artist Alley and all that. So maybe we'll get to see them and say hi then.
Oh yeah.
So we'll see.
Sounds like it's going to be a good time. And, You had mentioned the webcomic Underdog book, which you have. It's an anthology, and you are featured in it, correct?
I am. I have an exclusive story. I have an exclusive Groovy Kinda story that actually, if you're reading Groovy Kinda right now, www.groovykinda.org, it's leading up to that story, and now we're going to skip over that story, and you can only read that story in the book. If you want to know what the story is, they're all playing Tunnels and Trolls together, and it's kind of an introduction to all the major characters. So you get to see almost everybody.
Yeah, so. I participated in the Kickstarter for that, so my copy will, I guess, be arriving in the mail in a month or so, I'm assuming.
I hope so. I mean, I'll get to see it at the con. I hope I get my copy before that. Yeah, I was in the Kickstarter, too, for that one. Yeah. So. Yeah, it was great. And this is one of the great things about the Underdogs, is that we did the Kickstarter. We've got the book coming out, and now they're going to start working on another book. So it's your turn.
Yeah.
I'm in there with Mellow Red Blue and a bunch of other great people. And now it's your turn, man.
Well, I hope that I actually have time to do it if they ask, because I'm just loaded down with a lot of work with school and all now, so, but I'm sure I can find time to do it.
I don't know how any of us find time to do our comics.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to work on a Halloween special for Charisma Kills, and if it works out, it will be the first Charisma Kills printed comic. It's a little anthology as well, but the individual stories connect, and of course it centers around Cog and the Consortium of Genius, and you know, Dr. Pinkerton doing something that causes a massive amount of chaos. It ends in a massive battle with guitars and lasers. So,
hey, so you're going the traditional Halloween route?
Absolutely.
Nice.
And of course, it's going to have dreams and nightmares, because you can't have sweet dreams made of worms without sweet dreams being made out of worms. So.
Exactly. You are going to so love having a print comic. Just to have that physical object made out of paper that you can pick up, and it's got your name on it. It's got your art. It's so astounding. It's so great.
Yeah.
I got to get off my butt and do a Groovy Kinda collection someday.
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for that.
I know. I got 350 strips out, and I don't have a book. And so I got to... With all my copious spare time, I've got to get doing that.
I don't have anything in print yet, but I do have some news. I went to class today, and my animation project is actually going to be featured in the New Media and Animation exhibit next week at SLU.
So really?
I was quite surprised, because I look at it and I was like, oh my God, there's so many problems with this thing. I don't want people to look at it. And then my instructor was like,
you are the only one that sees these things. It's okay. And I'm like, you know, you, my wife, and you know, probably 1,000 other people tell me the same thing.
And why don't we believe them? I never realized how insecure I was until I started doing this webcomic. I mean, I always knew I was insecure. And it's like people are going, oh, this looks really good. And I'm thinking, no, I mean, there's good stuff in it. Sure. But overall, yeah. No.
One of my instructors, actually all of them, well, except for art history, they say I have a problem with perfectionism. And I'm like, I can't have a problem. I can't be a perfectionist because none of my stuff is perfect.
Yeah, and you would never see it if I was that much of a pro. Yeah, right. I used to be that way when I was a disc jockey. I would be in there. I think I told you this story, but I'll tell you again. I would be in there making commercials and, you know, just doing the script and doing the script and doing the script and getting madder and madder and madder because it wasn't right. It wasn't right. And finally, just, you know, the light would go on and I'd just think, okay, it's good. It's good enough. Let's do it. And you know, sometimes you got to just do that. It's still not right. Yeah, it can still be better.
That is something I definitely have to get over with because that is my biggest problem in getting my stuff done is I will draw the same page. Hell, I think I've emailed you a copy of one of the Apocalypse Pizza pages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've drawn that page at least 7 times.
Man, it was beautiful when you sent it to me.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like, well, wait a minute. On the page before that, he was jumping through the air and he was facing this direction. And this panel on the next page, he can't land like this because it doesn't make sense. Because if he was facing this direction on the last page and he's now facing this direction, it's all screwed up now.
It's just not right. I've got to do it again.
Yeah.
I have a real hard time doing that. Occasionally, I'll find that if it just isn't working, I just get mad and I tear up the piece of paper and then I start again and that usually does it. And I try not to do that, but every now and again, I'll do that. But I really can't redraw a page. Once I get halfway, I'll redraw a face.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'll redraw a face until I just about erase the paper, erase a hole in the paper. And you know, it's only a character I've drawn, what, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 times before?
Yeah.
And I just can't get them right. I cannot get the expression right.
That's why I've adopted the use of the non-photo reproductive blue pencil because, man, if you would see some of the original stuff, the page almost looks like it's totally blue. But
Yep. And sometimes you just have to draw it and draw it and draw it and draw it and take the best part of the smudge.
Yeah.
And make that part darker so you know where to ink. Oh, yeah. And I do that so many times. So many of my expressions are just totally by accident. Just because I've drawn it 50 times and this was the one that really jumped out at me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's our creative process, boys and girls.
Yep. So, who is
yes.
who is Charlie Wise? Why don't you give us a little bit of insight into who you are?
Man, international man of mystery. Born a long time ago in beautiful Southern California. And then moved back to my mom after my dad died when I was 7. We moved out to Michigan, to Detroit. Because that's where all my mom's family was.
Yeah.
And so grew up in Detroit. And my sister, my eldest sister, was an artist. And so I always drew. And they always encouraged me to draw. And then I found in grade school that by drawing big pictures from Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine or covers of books. Yeah, there's a beautiful picture of the werewolf from Dark Shadows.
Oh, wow.
I did a big drawing of that, and they let me skip class and go sit in the hall by myself and draw.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, how great is this? And I'm just drawing a picture of a stupid werewolf, right? And, you know, I could draw, and they liked it. And so they encouraged me to draw. And we had a comic strip in grade school, the Schmo Gang.
Oh, wow.
My friends and I. And then I did a little bit. And then I would stop drawing for a few years. And then I would start up again, did a little bit in high school. And then went off to college and started doing the I went to engineering college in Upper Michigan.
Yeah.
Which is since passed 200 inches of snow this year.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And started drawing a strip for the college newspaper, and that's where all the characters were born.
Oh, really?
That's where all the major... Oh, yeah. Eleanor, Nelson, who back then was called Mac, Toivo, my gay Neanderthal. Uh-huh. He was a typical Finlander, except he was a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
Larry, Lissa, who eventually went off to Lissa and the Pirates, they all started in college back 1979, 1980. So I've had these people for 34 years. I've been doing stuff with them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So then I moved out to Oregon where as a disc jockey, and then I moved up to Washington, and then I got laid off from my disc jockey job, but I knew I was going to go back. So I had a couple weeks to kill, and so I don't even know how I decided to do this, but I just thought I'd draw this little comic strip for this girl I knew back in Michigan, who I was still not in contact with, and I just thought, oh, I've never drawn a comic strip before. Let's try it. I mean, other than I hadn't drawn a comic book strip in years.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to do full-page comics. I didn't even know what size they were supposed to be, so I just did an 8.5 by 11. And it was about this 30-year-old woman who winds up the captain of a pirate ship in an alternate reality. And did it. It was fun. Put it aside. A year or so later, a couple years later, decided, hey, let's try drawing a comic book. Like, I knew nothing about drawing a comic book.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. I didn't know what kind of paper. I didn't know what size it was supposed to be. I could pencil and ink a bit. And so, sure, let's try it. And so I did it. And I shopped it to New Aeon Press, Ed Vick and Phil Folio and those guys in Seattle. Yeah, I took it to Ed. Didn't hear back from him. So one day on my birthday, I thought, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to call Ed and see what he said about that comic. And I called him up. He said, yeah, we want to publish it. So went out to lunch with Ed and Phil. Went out to dinner with Ed and Phil and Kaya. And Listen the Pirates was born. And so did six issues of that, five issues of Listen the Pirates. And then a sequel called The Importance of Being Eleanor. And in the meantime, a little bit after that, I was doing a comic strip for a local paper around here. And then, again, without having any idea what I was doing, I said, well, I'm going to put these together and make a graphic novel out of them, which you are now holding.
Yes, I am.
And so, not knowing the slightest anything about self-publishing a graphic novel, this was, what, 1995, 93? Mm-hmm. I worked with these folks in North Dakota and MPI. Great people. Boy, they're the best. They were Morgan Printing. They were the ones who printed everybody's book back then.
Yeah.
And they were wonderful. And we did the book. And my problem with I have ADD. My problem with ADD is I do something up to a point and then I don't do it anymore. I lose interest. So Listen the Pirates doesn't have an ISBN number or a barcode.
Yeah.
Which makes it very difficult to sell, or used to make it difficult to sell. Now you can sell it online.
Yeah,
but back then you couldn't.
I was just noticing it actually.
Yeah, but and I priced it way too low. Something to keep in mind, boys and girls, when you want to buy the book. But you know, I distributed it through Wizard. And it went to comic shops, and it sold all over the world. I had somebody in Singapore buy one, and somebody in Paris buy one. And I was in Wizard Comics. Comics Buyer's Guide gave me a good review.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I did two Xenophile Presents for Phil Folio's Xenophile series, which is adult comics. Utopia Unlimited, which I took all the same characters and threw them into the future and kind of did my take on Star Trek and Gilbert and Sullivan and people who may not actually have been married to one another, engaging in physical activities.
Yes.
And actually, if you Google me and you Google Utopia Unlimited, I got some pretty good reviews off that one. So that was a lot of fun. And as a matter of fact, I drew. So let me back up. So once I did Utopia and Importance of Being Eleanor, I basically did not draw for 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
Just really did. Yeah. I had too many other things to do. I got married. We had a lovely daughter. I was working at the library, which basically used up all my creativity right there. And just didn't draw. And then Christoph Pettis wanted me to draw something for him. And I sat down and started doing that. And that got me back into drawing. And so I drew another Utopia Unlimited, which, again, ADD. I still have one panel to finish on a 33-page comic. Mm-hmm. And it'll be done. And I could scan it and letter it and maybe publish it in my copious spare time, mm-hmm. along with the Groovy Kinda book. I could do a Utopia Unlimited collection.
Yeah, I actually have right here Utopia Unlimited.
1 and 2.
1 and 2.
Yeah, and I still think Utopia 2 is probably the best comic I've ever written. I love the way the story works and the way it holds together. And, yeah.
This is amazing work. You know, even for people who may not appreciate subject matter, I mean, the art, your inking is just unbelievable.
You know, one of the things that scared me about doing the webcomic, because again, I hadn't drawn in a few years, and Christoph came to me and he said, I want you to do a comic for me. And so we started playing around, and I came up with these characters, and one of them, Anya, I really liked. And I just, again, without knowing what I was going to do, said, I'm going to do a webcomic. And the biggest fear I had was that I would never be able to draw as well as I did back then, and I would never be able to be as clever as I was back then.
And that will wrap up part one of Charlie Wise's interview on Charisma Kills Radio. I had just as much fun in post-production of this episode as I did making it with Charlie. And speaking of, I spoke to Charlie today, and we entertained the idea of him returning sometime in the near future to discuss webcomics further. But no matter what happens, I can guarantee you, we've yet to hear or see the end of Charlie Wise, the clown prince of the webcomics world. So keep an eye out for episode 2 of Charlie's interview. And until the next show, I'm Jesse. And if you're interested in the intro or outro music of the show, it was the Consortium of Genius, and you can locate them and their music at consortiumofgenius.com. That's consortiumofgenius.com. The song was Science Party.
Hey, someone spiked the test tube!